The Flap is an unrivaled talk show featuring in-depth conversations on technology, life, love, comics, and fatherhood, hosted by founding members of Paper Keg, Dale underscore A, and Slim. So I am, it has been a few months, everyone. Thanks for waiting us out. I was sick. I had a high fever one day. And I was home from work. I felt like garbage. Complete garbage. Grayson was at school. And Reed was with my mother-in-law. God bless her. So I didn't have to worry about that. Those shenanigans. Come downstairs to play a little Skyrim, as I would do on a sick day. I don't feel like doing much else. I'm dying because I'm overheating with a fever. So I come down to the cool basement. I'm wearing like these sweatpants, these Old Navy sweatpants, the only thing to still fit me from Old Navy. And the sweatpants themselves are probably like 5 feet in length, and they all bunch up around my ankles.
Do they have like the ankle scrunchies, or are they just...
Yeah, they do. They're not like straight pipe leg.
Uh-huh.
And I wore them all the time, even though they would like bunch up and cover my feet. Like they were just two blobs at the end of my feet. So I hear my mother-in-law, you know, walking around upstairs with Reed, and I pause the video game to go use the bathroom down here. I have a bathroom in the basement. So, it's a package deal. I don't even have to go far. So, getting ready to sit on the toilet. And, you know, I've been, like, I'm farting the whole way to the toilet. And so, I pull my pants down. And full disclosure, like most of the time when I'm farting and by myself, I will, like, I'll pull one of my cheeks to the side. It's because it's a sick habit I have now. But, you know, it's just to
just makes it a
silent
secret just between you and your right butt cheek.
So, you know, probably with my left hand, I pulled at a 9 o'clock or a 10 o'clock angle, and I poop all down myself. One last fart. I am 6 inches from sitting on the toilet. And there is just brown liquid like clinging to my cheek and going down my leg and into my boxer and sweatpants combination that are all bunched up around my ankles. And so now I got my slippers underneath all this, my sweatpants with the little scrunchies all bunched up at the bottom of my naked torso. And at first I couldn't believe what happened. I'm like, what just happened? And I look, and I obviously verify. So first initial thoughts, the hands are destroyed. Hand is destroyed because I put my hand back there to pull my cheek back.
Collateral damage.
So immediately I start going into like clean up, like how do I take care of this? It's not a full bath down here. So
are your pants and slippers just, they're gone at this point? Are they gone? They're finished.
I just don't know. Okay. I just don't know. I see the boxers down there. The boxers are finished, certainly. And I wash my hands down here. I have to. You know, first and foremost. I still have to poop. And I have a complete mess at my feet. And I have nothing to do down here. I can't do anything with myself down
like
here.
Like, how much came out? Can you put a measurement in it? Like, if you had a 16-ounce thing of Coke, like, how much would fill that container?
I mean, probably in reality, you know, 4 to 6 ounces. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. It was a mess. It was a complete mess. But now, I'm downstairs, and only that, and I don't know what to do first. I have to get upstairs to my bedroom. My mother-in-law's upstairs. I have to come out of the basement door and into my bedroom without her kind of noticing what's wrong. Like, what, you know. So I pull my pants up, back up around my waist, my boxers and my pants. Because I don't know what else to do. I can't take, like, if I took them off, I could spend, you know, a half hour cleaning myself with the roll of toilet paper I have in this half bathroom and still have to come upstairs waddling naked. So I pull my boxers and my pants up, soaking wet. I'm like being hugged and clung to by wetness, and I like penguin walk. Because now I have a carpeted basement I have to get through. I can't destroy the carpeted basement.
Can't leave a trail.
Yeah. And I have to climb a flight of stairs with, at this point, you know, less than room temperature, 65, 64 degree pants clinging to me. So I have to waddle up the stairs and get to my bedroom without drawing the ire or questions with, you know, my mother-in-law's up there with Reed.
Right.
So I penguin waddle up the stairs like I'm one solid mass. I'm just like hippity hopping up. Uh-huh. And
it must have taken you like a good 20 minutes to get up the steps.
It's almost like I was trying to break into a place, like I was going that slow and that quiet. And I got into my bedroom. My mother-in-law luckily wasn't up there, but I couldn't take the chance at the time because I heard her up there. And that's it. I get into my bathroom. Slippers safe.
Okay. Thank God.
Thank God. But I just immediately, I don't know what to do first. Like, I have to pull my pants off and just ball them up.
They're like incriminating evidence at this point too.
Yeah, because then I'd have to take my SE pants to the washer, and knowing my luck, my mother-in-law would be doing laundry or something. It should be, or we'd like come face to face in the laundry hallway,
right? Or you don't think she's in there, and you like peek your head in that room and try to throw it in a trash can across the room, and she's in the room and it hits her in the face, and just creates something awful happen.
Yeah, so, you know, I have to bowl them up, and I got to get in the shower. I'll worry about, you know, so I bowl them up to make sure there's none of the awful parts on the outside of the sphere.
Right.
I just put them on top of the toilet for now. Yeah. Put them on top of the toilet, and I get in that shower for probably with, you know, a half hour of scrubbing and washing. And, you know, at that point, I'm fine, but then, you know, I got to get the pants out into the dumpster.
Instant dumpster maneuver.
Yeah. So, at the time, I remember texting you. I was like, yeah, S'd myself today. Yeah.
It's a hard text to top, too. I think that was, like, the greatest text I've ever received. I think I started instantly weeping when I saw that, and I just couldn't wait for you to tell the story.
And I confessed to my wife that night.
Mm.
I thought it was funny because I just had to kick her out of the room so I could record this.
Right.
Because I was too self-conscious. But I told her, you know, full disclosure, her winner of a husband est his pants in an effort to fart one last time before sitting on the toilet.
I mean, you're going to a toilet. In hindsight, the act of
yeah.
you know, having one last furt before you just plop down probably, you know, wasn't needed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was unnecessary. Looking back, I didn't need to execute the one last maneuver. I was right there.
Yeah.
But
you just got cocky.
I did. I was really pushing it. And I paid dearly my extra tall sweatpants.
Have you ever,
now in some garbage dump?
Have you replaced those classics from Old Navy yet? Have you replaced the scrunchy ankle sweatpants?
No, not yet. Well, nowadays I won't even step foot in an Old Navy because I know buyer beware. It's not going to fit my fat body, probably no matter what.
Hmm.
I wouldn't even go hunting for a new pair of Old Navy sweatpants because I know. Geez. This was pre. I mean, they were probably 6 or 7 years old.
Whew.
And, you know, I've been getting by with other sweatpants since then.
They don't make them like that anymore.
No, especially at Old Navy. They're all hip and, you know, sweatpants you can wear in public.
Right.
They're all designed that way now.
They show your ankles. That's the style now. You wear, like, tight jeans, and then your ankles are showing because your jeans are rolled up.
You can't be having that, you know?
That's real life in New York City.
Must be nice.
Just get used to it.
Have that body.
So you... I think the last time we spoke, we talked about public weight loss and weigh-ins. I have not seen you weigh in a few weeks now on Friday morning.
You're right.
What's happening? Talk to me.
Overall, I have lost. Admittedly, I was making a lot more effort when we first talked about it, probably the first 2 months. And since then, I have been watching, but I haven't been weighing. And it's easy to blame things. For the first couple weeks, it was because our closet where the scale was so packed with dirty laundry that I couldn't get in there. I wasn't going through the effort. And if I were to dig it all up, Monique would have throttled me.
I thought maybe that the scale was in the poop room where it happened and you had to throw the scale out.
Oh, man. Poop room. I still have nightmares when I go in that poop room. And since then, the laundry has since been done for about two
Thank
or
God.
3 weeks now. None of it got done on my long vacation, but... post past two or three days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I haven't weighed myself in and, cause I'm a disgusting fat man. I did blow up the tires on my bicycle.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. Pretty excited about that. I rode around the driveway to give the tires a good old testing. And the 30 seconds I was on my bicycle, my A cheeks immediately started. They were sore than anything I've ever felt. Riding that bicycle seat.
What were you wearing? You were probably wearing your blue jeans and your little New Balances. You hopped onto that bike. I mean, you shouldn't ride a bike in blue jeans.
No, I think I was just wearing like my pajama / gym shorts.
Uh-huh. You know, your sleep shorts.
My sleep shorts. Yeah. Well, my around the house, not sleeping shorts.
Right.
And, but I don't know. But it would be just the same. I don't know. And I remember when I first bought the bike, too, my butt cheeks were miserable. Like, it was walking and sitting after the fact. And I know they probably say, like, you have to do it for a few weeks for your cheeks to, like, knot up and, like, get tough.
Callous.
But, yeah, callous up. But for the 30 seconds I rode in that driveway, I mean, for the rest of the day, I was done for. My butt was sore, but it's the only thing. I'm inspired by, you were running for a long time, and a lot of our friends on Twitter run, and I'm inspired, but I'm terrified to run on my street, for one. It's like a drag strip, pet cemetery street. And two, and this is going to be a problem with my bike, too, but I just, if I... could find an extra half hour of my day at some point, I would have done it for something else already.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, and it's a lame excuse, but I don't know if I can get up in a half hour earlier. It's 12:26 a.m. and we're recording a podcast that we have to get up for network tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. It's going to be tough. And plus the baby, like the kids are getting up around between 6 and 7. So if I'm out of the house and one or both kids wake up in the morning, I know that'll be my, but that would happen.
That would be your chafing rear on that bicycle.
Yeah, exactly. And, but if I could get up on time.
What time do you get up every day?
I get up and, well, my alarm goes off at 6, but I probably don't get up until 7 every day, which is terrible. Well, it's bad now because I'm in such a haze when my iPhone alarm goes off that I've come to turn
you're
the
just like,
alarm
you're,
completely
you just
off.
Hit snooze for an hour?
Because I don't remember much when my alarm wakes me up in the morning, but I remember always swiping instead of snoozing. And then, like, I immediately put my head back down. I'm just like, no, I'm just going to sit here for a second until I wake up. And then it's an hour later.
I used to set multiple alarms, like, assuming that I would accidentally swipe or...
Oh, really? That's actually
yeah,
not a bad
I used
idea.
To have, like, a 6 and a 6:30 and then, like, a 5 of 7 as, like, a holy ass, you're screwed. You better get in the shower now or you're not getting the right train.
It's not a bad idea. I should try that. I tried the... It's a really stylish app called Wake app. Hmm. It's a new alarm clock, but the only problem is it's you're screwed if you have any sort of email coming in at night or notifications because
really?
The alarm, basically, you have to leave the app open and while you charge your phone all night. So even if you have Do Not Disturb on, it doesn't work because Do Not Disturb only works if your phone's locked. Because essentially the app is configured to not lock your screen, so your phone is up with the app open all night. So you could put it on vibrate, but I like Do Not Disturb in case I ever get a work call in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if you... Do you have, like, your mail set to a notification on the front of the screen, or is it just a banner that flips from the top so you can just continue about your business and then it just rotates away?
It's a... I have the mail set as a banner in the front of my screen because I get so many BS, quote-unquote, system emails from our machines at work and stuff that I need them on the front of the screen so I don't have to open my phone up and check to make sure if it's a legit email.
So if you're, like, in the Twitter app and you get an email, you have to dismiss it.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That will flip at the top of the screen. But if my phone is locked, it'll appear at the front.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the sound more than anything.
Good with grief.
But I don't know. I got to figure it out, but I'd really like to ride my bike. But, I mean, I'm just completely exhausted. I'm an exhausted man. I never would have guessed I would ever been this tired.
I think the trick is to set your phone across the room so that you have to get out of bed. I used to do that. Where, like, the alarm would be so annoying that you'd be just annoyed that you had to get up out of bed, and by that time you're like, well, I'm up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Things to try, you know? Mm-hmm.
What else is on my list? I wanted to talk about rain and flooding, but I think that was a topic from, like, 6 months ago, from the last time I recorded, where it was, like, torrential downpours, and your basement got flooded. Do you remember that? I don't even remember it now.
I don't remember specifically recently. I know last year, but we've been... I was shop backing out the crawl spaces in my basement. But we've been getting so much rain that I am... My foundation, I just pity. Like, I am so inadequate as a homeowner, as a handyman. I know there are low points in my foundation that I need to grade away from the house. I am completely not adept. I'm not a man when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I just sit and I watch. I watch my house suffer. I watch the foundation of my house suffer. I can't afford to get a professional.
You don't have the time.
The time. I could slash would make the time if I knew maybe how to do it, but I don't. But that's a lie because I don't have time to mow the grass as often as I could. And things will get better when my kids are a little older. But right now, it's kind of like, I don't know, feels like all hands on deck with Reed being so young still and Grayson being a maniac.
I don't know how you do it.
I can't break away. It feels like I can't break away, which is weird because they're right in the house. But
what was the one episode of Paper Keg where I mentioned that you used ether on Grayson to put him to sleep one night?
I'm going to have to start. We just converted his bed to the toddler big boy bed.
Yeah, how'd the first night go?
It's, well, under false security, every night's been fine because he's been falling asleep with us as soon as we read a book to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this either on the Flapper Paper Keg where I'm usually guilted into laying next to him in his crib and holding his hand while he falls asleep because he wants to talk about school and it's mostly just me talking about his school and him not responding, you know, but he'll say, let's talk about school. And I'll say, okay, so, you know, what'd you do at school today? Did you do this? Yeah. And then I'll start to doze off and he'll be like, daddy, let's talk about school. I'm just like, hey, kid, you're just go to sleep. I'm like, shut your eyes.
I don't know how you're not addicted to drugs at this point to try to just extend your days.
There's this stuff. My mom's in some pyramid scheme selling this energy GNC type supplemental line. A line of product.
Oh, okay.
And there's like this energy drink stuff called Spark, and she's just been sparking me to try to get me to try to get her son to sign up under her like salesman pyramid or something. So I've just been buying it from her. It works. I'll drink it on paper cake nights and stuff. Yeah.
How long does it give you a boost for?
A couple hours.
Hmm.
I mean, it doesn't make my heart feel as bad as like a 5 hour would where I feel like I'm like speeding and my heart kind of races.
Yeah.
So that kind of works as far as Spark goes, but I'll get your free set. I'll spark you up when I see you.
Spark me hard.
But yeah, the finding time for things, it's exhausting. Grayson is exhausting. Reed is exhausting.
Yeah, I thought that you had the crib now, like before we did, because I think we accidentally did it, or it was like one of those things where we had to do it, kind of like with his pacifier, because he went somewhere and didn't have it, so we're like, well, here's where we start, him not having a pacifier.
Yeah.
And then the crib one, he climbed out of, like, yeah, one night. That's right. And then that was when we're like, well, I guess we're going to start taking the wall off the crib. And he did great at first, but then something clicked one night where I guess he realized, hey, I can just climb out of here and do whatever I want. And then he did that for, I think this was one of the conventions I went to.
Of course.
The day before. So my wife was stuck with that. It might have been even San Diego last year. But he just like would open the door and come on out. Or like we would hear him plop his big feet on the floor. Because we live in such a small apartment that when we put him to bed, it has to be like library silent for 20 minutes.
So he falls asleep into that deep.
Right. So we would put him in there and we'd just hear like a plopping and then we would just look down the hallway, would see his little almost gremlin-esque hand come through the door and try to open his door. And we're like, nope, back in bed. And then he'd scurry and scamper and jump on the bed. And one night she called me and he got out of bed like 50 times. Like, and that's not even an exaggeration. 50 times he would get out of bed and she would have to go in and I guess it got to the point where we ran out of what to say to him for him to finally do it. And we found something that said, you just have to, the first three times, Or you say something the first time, and then it progresses into saying nothing, or vice versa. I don't even remember. Mm. So she did that like 50 times and didn't say anything. And then that took like 2 or 3 days, and he eventually just stopped doing it.
Wow.
And then there was like different phases. That was like the second phase of not having the wall. Third phase was more recently, where he would just cry because he was scared of something. Like there's this circus freak show that lives upstairs family where the kids don't go to sleep at 8 o'clock. They go to sleep whenever they want, and they do tap dancing above his room.
Oh, great.
So this might have been phase four. Something might have happened before that where he just didn't want to go to bed. I think that was phase three. But the more recent one was he was scared of the noises happening upstairs, so he would freak out and not want to go to bed. But he's like so weird because it's like 100 degrees in his room. He doesn't have an AC unit. He has a fan. Mm. But he'll pull the sheet over his body when he goes to bed. And he sweats like a human kid. Heater.
Yeah.
And when I go in, it happened, I think, last night. My wife went out food shopping, so I was by myself with him. And I put him to bed, and he pulls a sheet over his head. And I walk to the couch, and then something happens upstairs, and he freaks out. He's like, I'm scared. I still don't even know if he knows what that means. And then, so I have to, like, wait by the bed, and then once he hears something, I just say, like, okay, I'm still here. And then he's fine with the sheet over his head. But it's so weird because I could be totally silent, and then I think he's sleeping. So I just reach my arm into his room and pull the sheet down to make sure that he doesn't suffocate or sweat to death.
Right.
And that doesn't scare him. He just quick pulls it back over his head. Like, this mystery hand reaching into his room, pulling the sheet down over his face doesn't scare him.
Yeah.
He's totally fine with that.
But
it's, I don't know how he does it. But now he'll like, I think actually while we were recording Paper Cake earlier, he got out of bed and went into our room. But now he'll get up at like 5 or 6 and come into our bed and sleep in between us. And that's his routine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
He, Grayson, it's mostly out of sheer laziness that we haven't done it before, you know, pending third birthday. But he never tried to climb out of the crib, so we had never encouraged it and or figured we'd need to give him a toddler bed. So This past July 4th, when I was on my vacation, I was going to do it. I'll swap out the front because it was like a conversion kit we bought with the crib. So 3 years ago when we bought it, you know, we put that stuff in the basement, still brand new in the box because we didn't need it yet. So I was going to do it on July 4th, and it turns out they shipped the wrong front of the crib.
Oof.
At the time. So it's been 3 years since, you know, that purchase was made. So luckily, my wife was able to handle the transaction details and get a new one delivered last week. But when they were here, they offered to swap it out for us. So it was like the middle of the week. I was like super apprehensive because As soon as he found out there was going to be no crib wall, I didn't know how he was going to react. But luckily, I, you know, in an effort to not encourage craziness, I stayed with him that night so he would fall asleep, and he slept through the night. But it was so cute the next morning because as soon as he got up, like, he wasn't even awake, and he realized he could get out of bed, and he crawled out of bed, and he, like, came out in the living room and is like, held his arms up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm here. We were already up at that point. And he's been doing that every morning since. We've been up, so he hasn't, you know, scurried into bed with us or anything like that.
Right.
But still kind of worried at some point that when we're sleeping, he is going to come out of his room and, like, traipse across the dark house. We have a couple night lights strategic, but Hopefully there's enough light to where he doesn't just, like, decide to go down the stairs or something crazy like that. I'm paranoid.
How did the potty training go?
So that was, you know, coincided nicely, but this weekend we tried seriously potty training him, again, out of sheer laziness, because we're probably awful parents in that regard. And Saturday we're like, okay, that's it. You're going to start using the potty. And it was very disjointed the first half morning because at first we didn't just sit him on the potty the whole morning. We were just like, because the problem is when you're a parent, you have to learn to not trust your kid. You know, they're 2 years old, 3 years old. They don't know, whatever they're telling you, they don't even know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, tell mommy and daddy if you have to go potty, because we would set him on the toilet and he wouldn't go, so we'd let him get up. And we had like little underwear on him without a diaper, which was because we let him go naked the first time and he just peed in his own feet at his at the table he was sitting at. So we put underwear on him. We're like, well, if he pees in his underwear, he's not going to like that at all. So then, you know, we put him on the potty again and he wouldn't go. And then we let him get up with his underwear, and then he'd like pee through his underwear, and he would immediately like say, uh-oh, and look down, and there would just be like gushing liquid through. I told you it was like a spaghetti strainer. Like it was just liquid coming from every porous thing of the underwear. It was much more messy. And then Monique is like looking for this toy for him for his third birthday on Craigslist because she doesn't want to buy it new. So she goes off on this hunt like an hour away to this yard sale that's selling this thing that she wants and leaves me with both kids.
Oh, man.
And Oof. She left immediately after Reed went down for a nap, and usually takes a two-hour nap. And, of course, he woke up 5 minutes after she left. But I left him in there because I at that point I was so furious at cleaning up his pee. I sat him on the toilet, and I kept feeding him drinks. Mm-hmm. And he got to the point where he was clearly visibly agitated. He had to pee so bad. He was like pinching his little worm and crossing his legs like hardcore. And I wouldn't let him get up. Like, I'm just like, sorry, Grayson, you have to go pee pee in the potty. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And he was like dancing. He was rocking he started crying because he just like, he needed a diaper going. He was crying. It was like Matt Murdock trying to get his girlfriend off of heroin. Like he needed it. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. And I was like, you know, I'm sitting there with him the whole time. I'm like cheering him on. He's not having it, but it just got to the point where he started to explode. Like he just started to pee because he couldn't hold it any longer. He was holding it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then like when he started to pee, like I make sure it's pointing down in the toilet, and like the relief on his face, it actually worked wonders, because as soon as he realized that he could pee into the toilet, it was like amazing for him.
Oh, man.
And after that, he had a few more accidents after that, but only because, you know, I still didn't know what to watch for. And mm-hmm. I let him get off the toilet so he could eat his lunch and stuff like that. And then I didn't know what signs to look for. He was like filibustering and like, you know, wanted to like do these random things that he would never do, like sit on a stool and look out the front door and like try to identify a bird with mm-hmm. me. And then he like peed all over the stool while he was sitting in there. So I was just like, that's it. You know, you're going back on the toilet all afternoon. But by the next morning, we put a diaper on him that night. And the next morning, you could see that he was holding in his pee until, if you asked him if he had to go, he would say no. But if you sat him on the toilet, he would wait until you put him on the toilet to go.
Oh, wow.
Which was amazing. Like, I was completely stunned. I just wanted to, like, I was so proud.
My wife is going to be so annoyed when she hears you say that, about how it wasn't smooth for us. I mean, it was semi-smooth. So we tried it. We did the naked weekend attempt, as documented on a previous flap.
Mm-hmm.
Where he planked over the toilet, refusing to sit on it. So we tried this previous weekend, and we just had him sit on it. So I went out for a run, and then I came back, and he was sitting on there. So she got him to sit on it by like offering to blow bubbles for him or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sitting on that, and I don't know how she did it, because he eventually got off. He didn't want to do anything, and then it was like, you know, impossible to get him back on. So then what was funny was we offered to put him in underoos. We had like this set of like Justice League and Thomas underwear. So we put the underoos on. He was all excited. And then we eventually got him back on the toilet, on the potty. And then so we tried everything that you had said, you know, let us know and et cetera. And then when he said he didn't have to go, we like picked him up and we pulled the shorts back up. And what we didn't realize is that he actually did pee in the potty a little bit. So we missed the huge opportunity to like keep celebrate. Yeah. So we tried to like recapitalize on it and like celebrate. And we showed him like, yeah, you did go in there. And so I went out and took him food shopping with me to get him fruit snacks, because like, I think right before that, he was still wearing it, and we're like, are you sure you don't want to go in the potty? Are you sure? And he's like, yeah, no, I don't want to go in the potty. And then like we went in the kitchen, and he just starts peeing right through his shorts. Like, and then we're like, well, if you're on the potty, this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And but it was like, it was so difficult to get him back on there, and we didn't do it the next day, probably because we just didn't feel like dealing with it again.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
But it's so hard to like, for other people listening, Jonesy probably especially, good Lord, it is tough. Because I think she took him to the doctor and was like she was asking for tips or whatever. And she's like, have your husband take him into the bathroom and, you know, pee on Cheerios in the bathroom. That'll get him interested to do it. So I've been doing that. I've been peeing on Cheerios, Cheez-Its, pew, pew, pew. Peanut butter. I don't know what the hell they are, but that
sounds delicious.
But that hasn't intrigued him to do it himself yet. But I mean, the fruit snacks are like cocaine for him. We could literally offer anything, and he'll lose his mind for fruit snacks. He'll try a backflip for all he cares. But I don't know when we're gonna try again. So I'll be out of town, so that'll probably put a kibosh on it for another weekend.
Yeah.
But man, if I ever left Amanda with James and another kid while he was potty training, I would never hear the end of it, and I would be in doghouse mode for weeks. Uh-huh. So more power to you, good sir, because...
Yeah, thank you.
Hoo-wee! I wouldn't even think about doing that. My Lord.
And of course I don't say anything because, you know, it'll just come right back at me. I can't fight. I'm not a wordsmith. I can't throw things back in people's faces. I just bend over and I take it. And she was gone to the yard sailing all morning, and I'm dealing with this kid, and I think that him finally, like, me forcing him to not get up and him, like, just losing his urine because he couldn't hold anymore, that definitely opened his eyes. But, I mean, Reed was just, like, I was neglecting Reed. I didn't feed him. Like, I made him a bottle, and I threw him in the swing that we still have, and he kind of was, like, okay in there, and he was almost falling out of it, but it was rough. And
then, there would have been a family meeting when she came home that evening. TV would have been off. Phones would have been down. I would be like, I'll be shutting off Hell's Kitchen and be like, all right, family meeting time.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the next day, you know, because we do things usually half-aid, we have the big family trip to the train station to go ride on the choo-choo train.
Yeah.
So the next morning, he's like holding his pee in. We got him to go pee, and then we get all the way to the train station, and he's holding it in. There's no little Lightning McQueen potty at the train station. There's like a big human man toilet, right. And we had several false starts because I walked him in there, and he looked at it, and he didn't want any part of it.
Yeah, right.
So like we came back out into the gift shop, and the fourth time I walked him in there, I took his pants off and I plopped him on the big boy, the huge monster toilet, and he all nearly freaked out. He was not in the mood to deal with that huge thing. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad, but I had to pull his pull-up back on, and he held it like the whole train ride.
Wow.
Like a half-hour train ride to this little picnic area, and he was dancing. I'm like, I'm Grayson, and I'm really sorry, but you just have to, like, telling him he has to go back in his diaper. He didn't even realize, like, it didn't register for him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, I'm sorry. So, like, we basically had to do the same thing and just let him dance until he couldn't hold it anymore. And he just, like, eventually, like, you could tell, like, he just, like, loosened immediately when he's peeing in his diaper. It was crazy, but I felt so bad. And I was just like, well, there goes everything. We just practiced all weekend. But
out
luckily,
the window.
Luckily, he hasn't been that bad, and I took him to school today, and from what it sounds like, on the paper, he maybe did use the toilet at school, so we'll see. Mm,
that's good.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. Can't trust the school all the time.
No.
I'll talk to him in the morning.
Get the lowdown.
Yeah. But otherwise, though, he's I've heard that, you know, the threes are worse than the twos.
Mm.
He's been getting very independent, I guess is the easy word for it. But when he is not in the mood, which is mostly every morning, and when he chooses to not be in the mood, he, you know, how they'll just defy you. He'll defy whatever you're asking him to do, but he'll start conjuring up tears and, like, whining. Mm-hmm. And it'll get to the point where if you tell him to do something, he'll just start screaming back, "No! No!" And there'll be tears streaming down his face, like, mm-hmm. about anything. And it's got me insanely worried that he's going to be like this kid that's just not, that is just going to start crying because somebody talks to him.
Right.
And I am mad paranoid because I don't know, I probably could have been that kid, but I don't want to believe, are. I don't want to believe that it's the genes. It probably is.
But well, James gets into that where he doesn't, like, he used to love brushing his teeth at night. And now it's like we're pulling his fingernails out, mm-hmm. where even if we try to change it up and ask what color he wants to use, I have to, like, it's like water torture. I have to mm-hmm. hold him down, put mm-hmm. my elbow over his chest so he can't, like, move his upper body. And, you know, 90% of the time she's brushing his teeth, she's brushing his front lips, and she's not getting anywhere. Yeah. And then by that time we're both frustrated. She's like, "All right, just forget it. Go to bed. Good night. Kiss your father." And then he's like, it's as if nothing, like he would be screaming bloody murder, but as soon as he's let up, it's like,
yeah,
smile
as soon
town.
As he gets his way.
It's absolutely nothing happened. And like, he'll do the same thing when we're playing trains on the table that she made for him. And like, even if like he's going over a bridge and the trains fall over, he'll shake his, like, he's like, and he'll start crying. But as soon as, you know, I help his hand and fix the train, it's like nothing was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grayson's like that too. As soon as he gets his way, it's fine. And I know, like, you know, removing him from the situation, whatever it is, because, like, I guess it's all about attention and stuff. So if you're arguing back saying yes and he's screaming no, it's exactly what he wants. But mm-hmm. I swear, and I know, like, they say after you put a kid in timeout for more than, like, 3 or 4 minutes, it's not doing anything. But if I throw him in timeout, I could leave him in there for 20 minutes, and the entire 20 minutes, he will scream and yell. It's not like he gets it that he's not getting his way,
right.
which infuriates me, because as soon as I go in there and let him out, he's getting his way, and then he's fine. He's like, as soon as I start walking in towards the timeout chair, he gets up, he'll stand up on the chair, and he'll put his arms out. I'm sorry.
Right, just like fake sorries.
Yeah, he just knows that saying sorry coincides with him getting down. He doesn't know mm-hmm. what he's sorry for or anything like that, obviously.
Right.
But I imagine
you going into his room, letting him down, and he scampers out, and you just stick your foot out and trip him accidentally as he gets out, and that's your revenge.
It felt like, you just talk about the teeth brushing thing. We've never had to do that. We've never had to do that before, but the other morning, he just wasn't getting his teeth brushed, and I took such pleasure in, like, holding his hands, both his hands in my one hand. I took and I held it in front of him, and I just started going to town on those teeth. It could have been a Brillo pad, and I would have been happier. Like, I was so incensed and furious. If I could have brushed harder, I would have. Like, I lost it. And then another morning, I just took him, and I, like, before he had his toddler bed, I took him and I, like, dropped him, like, 3.5 feet from my arms into his crib, and I just walked out. I'm just like, I can't right now. I take things so personally sometimes. I have to work on that, but because I have to realize this kid doesn't know
mm-hmm.
that he's causing such a stir. You know, right. He doesn't know what his actions are causing, but little SOB, I mean, and it drives me crazy that he's getting like this with the whining and the crying. Like, I don't want him to be that kid. Like, it's probably every kid, but,
yeah,
you know, a part of me wants to say, not my kid. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's probably the wrong tactic to take, but that boy can set me off.
James has mastered the like, frowny face Charlie Brown move, where he'll, like, put his head down and start walking like Arrested Development.
Yeah, yeah.
And to the point where if I throw it back at him, where, like, if he does something and says no, if I do the frowny face and put my head down, he'll come over and be like, I saw we, and then, like, give me a hug.
Nice.
And then if I, like, say no to the hug or something, he'll offer a high five instead or a pound. And, like, he'll just, like, put his arm over my shoulder and, like, tilt his head. And, like, he's like, oh, I saw we. Like, I don't even know if he really knows what that means. He just knows that, like, that's what you do afterward.
Right.
So
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how he shakes out.
And, I don't know, Reed's, you know, he's almost 11 months now. So he's getting to the point now where you can, like, appreciate the kid you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before that, he's just super whining and crying for food. He's just that little machine. And now he's starting to, like, pick up on things. Like, if we've been teaching him, like, there's these decals on his walls. You tell him, like, there's the deer. You do it a couple times, and now if you ask him, where's the deer? He'll, like, flop his little arm over, and he'll, like, look in the direction of the deer. So it's like, now we're starting to reap the rewards of Reed. And he's, like, the fan. If you ask him where the fan is, he'll, like, look up and stuff like that. So
is he on an accelerated pace like Reed was / is? Because I think Reed is, like, a super intelligent being. Or Grayson, rather.
Grayson. I don't know. I don't know if Grayson is. I mean,
I think he is.
I think we take for granted that he speaks well. He speaks very well. I'll give him that. I forget that he's not even 3 years old yet.
He's like that Brad Pitt movie where he ages backward.
Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button Andrews.
He's, I don't think Grayson is like that. He's just very smart. He's not smart. He sounds smart because he speaks very well. Not that I, you know, I'm just trying to be humble. He might be smart. I don't know what to compare it to.
He's in his laboratory right now. He's not even sleeping.
He probably isn't.
He's solving, you know, he's curing cancer as we speak.
He has a little red light bulb come on as soon as somebody gets in the vicinity of his door so he can jump back in bed.
Got a lab coat and glasses.
Yeah. And he's going to summer camp now, which is at his school, but it's called summer camp.
Uh-huh. Do you not have to get him, like, overnight, or is it just another day?
Yeah, it's like
thing?
A date. It's a daycare, really. Hmm. That's my kids right now. And Reed is getting to the point, as soon as he gets off the bottle, because, you know, I just took a vacation where we took day trips, and it's just complete murder with the two kids, and Reed is still on the bottle and baby food. Because we're just living in the Chevy Traverse. Like, if we had a camper, we'd be better off to go on day trips and everything with. I live in the middle of nowhere, so we're at least an hour and a half away from anything we want to do normally. And Grayson, like, Monique is between the front seat and the back seat with the kids two or three times on a trip to feed Reed a bottle and everything else, because otherwise it's just massive chaos back there.
Mayhem.
Grayson's okay until he gets in the mood. Like, we'll put the iPad. Monique bought, like, this little iPad case that sits on the seat. You know, he watches Bubble Guppies in the car. But sometimes I'll get in the mood where he's got to, like, put his feet on the iPad, or he's got to be ornery.
Right. I think James is addicted to the iPad. Like, the iPad mini that we have, we got one of those heavy-duty cases with, like, the handle for him to swing around.
Yeah.
He gets up in the morning, asks for the iPad, goes on the couch. Like, I could go in the shower. He just chills on the couch watching. He'll go through YouTube or Amazon Instant or Netflix or whatever to find whatever he wants to watch. But he's, like, on that thing. Like, it used to be cool because he did the puzzles and the find games, you know, find the cheetah in this forest or whatever. But now he just watches Thomas over and over again. and to the point where, you know, he knows when the battery's dead, if it shuts off, he's like, he asks us, he tells us it needs to be charged. And it's like, he needs to go to like iPad detox. And he's 2.5 years old.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
He needs to shake it.
We'll have to have like a weekend where there's just no iPad. Where we, you know,
iPad weekend.
God forbid we delete Netflix from the iPad. His life will turn upside down.
Can you just picture his little finger just like constantly like flipping back and forth on the home pages? Where is it?
Or he comes over to us and tells us like, well, you know, where's Netflix? And starts massaging our shoulders and
does
tries
he know,
to sweeten us to get it back.
Does he know it's called Netflix?
I think he does call it Netflix.
Or does he just call it Thomas or something?
Or he'll probably ask where Thomas was. Well, this weekend he, for whatever reason, we played a YouTube video. I think because we were playing like Elmo potty songs while he was on there.
Yeah.
And he discovered that the related tab on the Netflix or the YouTube app. So he's like skimming and clicking on things, you know, deep into the weeds on videos.
Oh, yeah.
And he clicks on one video, doesn't know how to get back to it. And God, we don't know how to get back to whatever video he was on in that app. And it's all hell breaks loose because he couldn't get the red train, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, he does this like thing where he freaks out and doesn't get his way. He'll just throw his head and body into whatever direction he feels like. So if he's standing up, he'll just like, you know, battering ram into the side of the couch. 9 out of 10 times it's Amanda's face. So that just like makes things worse.
Right. Where she's just ready.
She's ready to call it quits. He'll just like, you know, catapult his head into her nose. And then that just sets off a whole other chain reaction of messiness.
Yeah.
That nobody wants to deal with.
I bet. It's probably a scary sight. It's got to be.
That's hashtag marriage right there. Oof. And then where he'll like throw himself into the side of the couch and just fall off the couch. And his head will hit something. And then it's just.
Right.
It's a mess.
Then he you know, he forgets what he originally started, and now he's got
right.
A
he's
huge
on to something else.
Hands.
Yeah. And then it's like hot. The air's not on, and he's just sweating profusely. And he's a sweat box. It's like you're holding just like a hot loaf of bread in your arms, and it's 95 degrees in there.
And then you're combined sweating. the body heat of two. Oh my God! What a mess.
It's a great time. It's a great time.
So what do you do with... I find myself constantly, because I know my wife will forget, constantly reminding her of like upcoming plans, whether it's recording a podcast like tonight.
Mm-hmm.
There's no easy way to casually like inject it into conversation, but I always will have to say... you know, like, Mo, you know, when I'm recording Paper Keg tomorrow night, I will have to blah, blah, blah. Because I know as soon as I create the event or remind her the first time, she immediately forgets. And then all over again, it's like my fault that I scheduled, like, you know, whatever, an outing on a random Saturday. That's I would have scheduled it 3 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
But come that Saturday, it's... World War something. Like, I get guilted. She knew about it for three... Well, she was told about it 3 months ago, but she had forgotten until the night before or whatever.
Right.
Do you run into that a lot with, like, your job? You're flying to San Diego.
The San Diego, I think, he started that, like, crying fit, like, a week before. So, like, last week or 2 weeks before. And she thought it was going to be, like, the thing that he was going to do while I wasn't here. So she would be, like, by herself. And, like, when it first started, she was like, oh, you know he's just going to do this when you're in San Diego. You know it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God.
Right.
And...
Lucky you for having a good job.
But I think when we first started doing, like, the podcast stuff, and when we first started dating, like, based on previous relationships, I would, like, ask her... if it was cool to, like, do X. I was like, you think it's cool if I do X on Saturday or Y tonight at, like, 10 o'clock? And she's like, well, what are you asking me for? I don't care. You can do whatever you want.
Sure, sure.
And in my head, I was like, whoa, this is wild. You don't even care if I do this, you know, and we're hanging out? And, like, I wasn't used to that. So that, I think I'm lucky. So, like, the podcast stuff, if I tell her we're doing a paper keg on Thursday, plus it, we don't record until, like, 10 p.m., and by that time, you know, nothing's happening. So our one kid mm-hmm. is, by that time, asleep. And she's on, you know, playing dots on her iPhone or Pinterest, or we're wrapping up season two of Hell's Kitchen, which this weekend we marathoned season one of Hell's Kitchen, and we're about halfway through season two. An amazing weekend.
Lucky you.
So, but I think I know I'm very lucky in that my hobbies are acquiesced to, where, like, there's, it's not a big deal if I have something happening. Where, like, to the point where I still don't even, like, she jokes that, like, I could just go to the bar at night or, you know, hang out with so-and-so this night, but I still don't, because I don't know why, if that's just, like, still gun-shy after almost four mm-hmm. years or whatever.
Yeah.
But, or it's just, maybe I think it's a trick. Like, yeah, you can do whatever you want, and then when right. I do it, it would, like, come back to bite me in the ass, which hasn't happened before.
And, well, see, the reason I have trouble doing that, like, when things crop up, say somebody wanted to go do something Friday night, the problem is, like, the things surrounding that are already planned, where I would be leaving her with the kids by myself, by herself. So it's like, even though it's cool that I go do that, it's not going to be cool when I have to do it again the next day or next week. Like, then I know she won't, like, realize it until it sinks in. So I find myself having to, like, pick and choose stuff like that, because it's obviously hard. And
maybe I would be more apprehensive to do anything if we had two kids.
Yeah, maybe that's, yeah, well,
I probably would never do anything, or even like the doing the paper keg and flap stuff. I don't even know how I would do it. Like, even the time to read, period, for, like, any book clubs with two kids, I don't even know how you do it.
It's mostly, like, passing out in bed reading after you're settled in for the night.
The fact that you fall asleep with your son putting him to bed would, like, frighten me, where I would have, like, an epiphany where I would have to reevaluate my daily choices and whatever I do hobby-wise. Like, I would be like, oh my God, this is my life. I need to either go to sleep or sooner, or make a choice.
But the problem is, like, the way our lives are structured now is I have to take the kids to school and daycare in the morning, because I couldn't be able to trust myself to be able to leave early enough from work in the afternoon to pick them up before cutoff time or whatever. So I spend my morning, take them to school, and then I don't get into work until like 10 a.m. And my job is very easygoing like that. As long as I put in the time, I could come in at 10 when I have to and leave at 6 or 6:30. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm there, you know, for the time where an employee right. should be. And my commute, like, kills me, because I'm usually not home until like 6:45, 7 o'clock. And it's just a killer on, like, home life with two kids and stuff. Like, as soon as I get home, if Monique was lucky, she would, like, and my mother-in-law too, she helps a great deal. Like, if dinner's ready, I would be able to sit down and eat if it was ready. If not, I got to get rolling, and I usually give the kids a bath because it's my time to spend with them and stuff before bed. So I got to roll right into giving them a bath and then putting them down and stuff. So it's not like I get to do anything. Like, as soon as I get home, I roll right into putting my kids down, feeding them, and putting them down. So I get, you know, the me time that I have, you know, I can spend doing whatever. It's usually dozing off, but it's just because I'm tired from working and commuting. It's not like I do anything extra special, but I don't know. But, like, I know Well, and obviously I have two kids, so it's probably my view is probably skewed, but to get to go to like comic book convention for multiple days, I would probably have the best worst job ever because I would have to say no to 90% of the opportunities of going right. away. Even if it was on the company dime, like I would get mad stink eye.
Well, I think the first one last year was the first one where I was gone for like a long period of time. I think I was gone for last year's New York Comic Con too, but the San Diego would have been before that. And that was like a last minute thing. Like I got asked like a week before because we didn't even think we were going to have a booth or any presence. And then once it popped up, I was like, oh my God, this would be amazing. But then I was like, oh my God, my wife would be by herself because this was around the time we still had both dogs too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we had two dogs and James being a year and a half. So she would have to be responsible for, you know, taking the dogs out in the morning and in the afternoon maybe, and then at night to go out. And then also James.
James, yeah, running around.
So that I talked to her beforehand. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to, but I need to talk to my wife first. And then I don't remember the conversation we had, but she amazingly said yes. And I think it was contingent on a few things, one of which her ordering a ton of Indian food when I came home. That's like her.
Sounds like a win to me.
that's like the okay, you can do this, but then I get to order Indian food.
Right.
So, and I know that as soon as I get back from San Diego, that'll be like the night of, that'll be on the menu.
Yeah.
But I think, I know she realizes that it's a big part of my job too. Like it's, maybe if I didn't work in comics, going to a con for, you know, the better part of a week wouldn't fly at all.
Right.
Like it's still kind of work. I mean, it's not kind of work, it is work, but you know, I think that's a big part of it too.
I'm hoping I can go to Baltimore this year.
Baltimore.
No, I would love to go to New York Comic Con too. I'm hoping I would love to go and stay the night in New York.
Remember that one year we all went?
Holy crap.
One of the greatest weeks of our lives.
Yeah, that was amazing. I would love to relive that again.
Stayed at the W. Is that what that place was?
I think it was the Marriott.
The M?
The M. Upside down W.
Could have sworn it was a W.
It was epic. It was amazing.
It's when I got obliterated one night and I had to work the next morning. I think that was the last time that I ever did that because I was miserable.
Oh man,
working that booth. And that was that.
You had dry heaves a couple times that morning before you even got out of the hotel room. Like, what a miserable. Yeah, I don't. You always have regrets after the fact, but you don't think about that.
Brutal. That was like the. I mean, I hadn't felt that way in a long time, but that was when you wake up and you have to go somewhere and you realize you're like, you need to sleep for like another 6 hours.
Yeah.
Or else you're cooked. And I think I've gone out at cons after that, and there's always in like the back of your head like you have to work in X hours.
Yeah. Stop.
And you just don't want to be waking up and just walking into walls again. So actually now, the last like two cons I've been to, I've pretty much stopped drinking at like 10 or earlier, where I'm to the point where now my tolerance for alcohol is just like nil. Where like I'll have 1.5 and then that'll be that.
Mm.
Where it's like back in the day where I had like 6.
Yeah.
So now by the time I have 2, I'm like, oof, I'm ready for bed. Like, I'm tired. Are you guys tired? And it's like the night is young for everybody else. I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening
to me? Please tell me you're tired. Please tell me you're tired.
Whereas, you know, when I was 21, I was, you know, cyclopsing on the way home. Like, no reason for me to be behind the wheel of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Getting immensely lucky, drinking until, like, 4 a.m. Like, I remember times where we would go to the diner. We would go to the diner after every night at the bar. And I would drive my Jeep around. There was parts where I would like drive into that diner parking lot forward into the spot that was on the side of the car, the side of the road. Like, you know, you pull into a parking lot and you turn left into the spot. I wouldn't even pull into the parking lot. I would pull into the spot forward. I would jump the curb with my Jeep, and I'd be like, hey, we're here. And then we would just park the car and go in and just have 20 wings. Like,
you maniac.
I don't know how any of us made it, to be perfectly honest.
I love that. That's a great story. Wow.
There was many stories. Like, we went to a hockey game. My buddy Dave and I went to a high school hockey game. We went to the bar beforehand and went to the game. And then, like, neither school was our school, but we would started like cheering the one team that our buddy was playing for. And we got into it with the parents of players and like at the game. Like, they were annoyed with us because we were cheering. Looking back, we were probably really drunk. But it got to the point where, so we had my Jeep, it was a stick shift, and we went to leave. We had won, so we're really rubbing in their face. And as we were pulling out, we got pulled over by a cop.
What?
And there was like no cause for them to pull us over at that point, unless somebody pointed us out and complained that we were like belligerent. So I remember this distinctly because I was so annoyed. So we got out. We had a friend with us that could not drive stick, so we had to get someone to drive us home. They let us off. Like, you guys can't drive home. You got to find someone to drive you home. So we called Dave's then girlfriend, now wife, and she was so annoyed that Dave was drunk and got pulled over by a cop, she refused to come get us. And she knew how to drive stick.
Oh, man.
And she hung up on him.
Burn.
So we had to get our buddy Pat, we had to wake him up and come drive my Jeep to one of our homes. There was also another time where I was driving with our Russian friend, Yelena, who was one of our heavy drinking friends.
She sounds it.
Where at a stoplight, I didn't stop in time and I ran the back of her car, my Jeep, at a red light. And this is at like another night after drinking. And we just kept driving after that. And there was another time with her where we drove home with the Jeep with the top down and the doors off. She was taking her clothes off in the passenger side, not wearing a seatbelt. Doors off on a Jeep.
Like, man. It was
madness.
Sounds like a blast.
And that was a night where I was cyclopsing. You know, one eye closed. Yeah. It's the only way you can do it. If you're seeing double.
I nearly got one time while I was in Vegas. Pretty sure I was inches from being man-ard from an old creepy guy. And I was so drunk. You get me drunk enough and I am like the most easygoing guy.
Right.
So I'm lucky. I look back and I'm lucky because there have been several predicaments where I could have found myself in a lot of trouble or in a lot of like stupid stuff because I would just be willing to go along with whatever was happening. Like,
right.
And this is my last day in Vegas and I was so drunk. I was like taking the monorail back from
Ogdenville,
Bally's or Flamingo back to towards the Luxor. And there was a guy in the car. And he had like a 6-pack of beer in a like a plastic bag, and he offered me one. So I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Like,
and you realize he wasn't wearing any pants.
I'll drink a GD beer right now. And then he started talking. He's like, yeah, I'm headed over. He said he was there for some like pool, like cue ball tournament, which was all pretty awesome at the time, I thought. And then he wanted me going to New York with him because he had some buddies there at the table. And my friend was like back at the Luxor, like where the baggage claim is, because he was so out of it. He didn't even want to move.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, well, I'm going out without you. It's my last day in Vegas. I'm taking advantage. And by the time we got in New York, he like started telling me like, yeah, he's like, if you like this machine here was like a fake horse race gambling machine. Like, if you start to do that, like I know the cocktail waitress, you can get free drinks and stuff. Little I know, like, if you're gambling in a casino, you get free drinks. Like, it's not anything new. So I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, this guy, what is up this guy? And I'm like, well, I got to go to the bathroom. I try to get away from him. He, like, follows me into the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
And then so I'm like, okay. He's, like, eyeballing me the whole time. Like, something could have really went wrong. Mm-hmm. And So, like, then we come back out and we're staring at, like, this horse race game where he knows the cocktail waitress, quote unquote.
Right.
And I literally did the thing where, like, I'm standing next to him and I reach my arm around the back of him and try to tap him on the other shoulder so he looks the other way so I could run. As soon as I tap him on the other shoulder, he looks immediately at me.
Oh,
he looks
no.
directly at me. He's like, what are you, like, wondering what I'm doing? So I'm like, that's it. I'm done for. Like, that was all I got in my arsenal.
And you're like, well, I'm just going to have sex with him.
Yeah. So it's like, that's it. What else can I try? Like, I mean,
yeah, that's,
you know,
it.
I tried the old, you know, look
the old
and
reach
move
around,
and
tap on his shoulder that while I'm next
not,
to him move.
He did not get distracted. So I started getting really nervous that moment. I was like, look, I got to go. Like, I didn't even let him get a word in, like, edgewise. I was just like, look, I got to go. I got to get out of here. I got a plane to catch or something. So I just, like, I ran out of the New York in fear with my manhood, my man intact.
Man.
So that was probably one of the more depressing times I was drunk. It's not always that depressing when I'm that drunk.
I almost wish that all of your night out stories end with you almost having sex with another man.
Oh yeah, it's fun. It's good build that reputation. There was one time we caught this lady's hair on fire. We were all drunk, and there are these people, and they were like in town for some fishing tournament. It was like a husband and wife and like a young friend. Like, picture like office coworkers. Like, that's the only way like this older woman and this younger woman would be friends because they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of them were out some fishing expo or something like that. And we were at the, I don't know, we were at Harris or something corny. And we were all drinking, having a good time. And this old lady was so drunk. She was older. Like, she was probably like a MILF or whatever. I mean, she was probably in her 50s, late 40s, 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, my one friend had a lighter, you know, saved this from them going somewhere else. And she, like, leaned in, like, in the movies to light her cigarette. And my friend Lou, like, lit her hair on fire. Like, the side of her hair was just, like, engulfed in flames for a couple seconds. And she didn't even realize. I mean, she was so out of it, she didn't realize it. None of us really did. And we just, like, looked at each other and we put her hair out. It was amazing.